Okay, let's open to the book of Ruth this morning. And I'm sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint or an overhead for you, you know. And one of the reasons is because I want to look at the whole book, and there's a bunch of verses, and I just couldn't decide which ones to put in there anyway. So we're going to open the Word and let it speak to us today. That's kind of the way I'd like to share anyway. So let's begin and ask the Lord's presence. Lord, we come into this place to meet with you. This is what church is all about. As we gather in you, in your name, Lord, to come into your presence for you to speak to us from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to hear. And Lord, I pray that you will open my heart to receive what you will say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In order for you to understand the book of Ruth, you've got to understand Judges. So if anybody's ever reading the book of Ruth, I say go read Judges first, because it makes no sense unless you do. And it makes a whole lot more sense when you do. This happens during the time of the judges. This is right at the tail end of the period of the judges. And it is a dark, dark period in the history of the Jewish people. It starts off in Judges chapter 2, verse 1. An angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal, which is in Bochim, and he said, I will never break my covenant with you, nor shall you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land, but you shall break down their altars, and you have not listened to my voice. Why have you done this? He starts off by saying, I made a covenant with you. I'm not going to break my covenant with you, but I asked you to do something, and you didn't do it. I asked you not to form covenant, or to form alliances with the people of the land. And they did. And they did not drive out the inhabitants of the land. Now, this is what's the important part is. Okay, let's go down to verse 3. I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. And also, all that generation that was gathered to their fathers. Oh, I went and jumped ahead a bit there. That's verse 10. I missed a bit. He said that he would leave them there to be a snare to them. One of the things that he put in there too, and I didn't put that in my verses, but was that that God left them there to test the people of Israel. Now, what that meant was that for each generation that was to come along, they would be there as a way for them to know and to see the hand of God. Was it a test to see, you know, are you going to, you know, a pass or fail thing? No. These are challenges that are left there in the land. And they're left there for each generation that is to come. Now, here's what happens in verse 10. And also all that generation gathered to their fathers, and there rose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which he had wrought in Israel. So now we understand this is the season that we are in. This is Judges. And in each generation, it was necessary for people to get a hold of God. But what had happened was the generation that got a hold of God, they're gone. And now there's a new crowd. They're coming up, and they've never seen God move like this before. They've never seen God deliver them from their enemies. And what happens? They start doing each man what was right in his own eyes. That brings us to chapter 21, verse 25, last verses in the book of Judges. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Everybody did what they thought was the best thing to do for themselves. Now, doesn't that sound an awful lot like the world that we live in today? It's a real testimony to the world that we see today. It's a generation, our kids haven't seen the revivals that we have seen. And they haven't seen the God move in the way that some of us have seen. I remember, it wasn't long ago, I was just listening on the internet to Pastor Adams. He was at the church in Southampton. This is just before he passed, I guess. And I was listening to him preach, because I hadn't heard him preach very often, and I remember listening to him, and oh my goodness, what a fire in that man's heart. He had a fire in his soul. Something burned deep inside of him because he had an encounter with God. It made him go out and be a pastor and work in churches, and he had a passion for people's hearts, a passion for people's lives. I remember knowing him when he was here, and I tell you, he's the kind of guy that just touched your life just by talking to him. He walked in a different place. He walked in a different level in God because he knew God. Not just about God, but he knew God. We're in a time period where people know about God. We know all about God. We've got books by the thousands. We've got new things coming out all the time, but we need an experience. We need a fresh encounter with God today. And this is the day that Ruth was in. What had happened? Well, let's look at verse 1. It came about in the days of the judges. So that's when it happened. There was a famine in the land. Now here goes the cycle, okay? Every time that there was a move of God in the land, God blessed the people. They had prosperity and things worked out good for them. And then when they didn't know God, what happened? Famine came. So, there was a certain man from Bethlehem. And that man's name was Elimelech. Now, I'm going to point out something today that's important if you're reading the book of Ruth. This book is about the names. And the reason I say it's about the names is because there's an actual point made in here about the name of Naomi. Now, when God draws attention to the names, I think we need to as well. So I looked them up. Elimelech. This one means, my God is king. Wow. What a great name for a guy. My God is king. Every time that Naomi looked at him and said his name, she kept saying, my God is king. Wow. What a testimony. So, Elimelech, he has a wife, and her name is Naomi, which means my delight. And there were Ephrathites. And Ephrah is a word that means fruitfulness. And they're of the town of Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. So you've got a picture already in words. They represent a generation that knew God. My God is my king. And they lived in fruitfulness and in a house of bread where they had what they needed. There was no famine in a house of bread. And they had delight. But now comes a time when people are moving away from God. A new generation has come up. And the kids come along. Now, here's the weird part. You got to listen to the names of the kids. Okay. Verse, where are we at? Verse 5 has the names of the kids, both Mahlon and Chilion. Those are strange names of kids. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Mahlon means sick. And Chilion means pining. I'll let that sink in a bit. They named their children sick and pining. They were thermometers of the state of the nation. They were sick, spiritually sick, and they were pining for the days when God ruled. I think that's why she did that. I can't understand why you would name your kid that any other reason. She's calling her husband, my God is king, every day. And she's got two kids, and it's in a dark period in Israel, and famine's in the land, and it's tough getting by. And it's hard to get enough food to put it on the table. And she has her two kids, and she calls them sick and pining. Well, things got so desperate that they decided to go to Moab. Now, figuratively in the Bible, oftentimes Moab represents going to the world. So here they go. They leave the place of their inheritance, they leave their home, they leave their land, and they go off to Moab, and they're there for a while, and dad dies. God is my king, it's the first one to go. And then the two boys die. In the meantime, they had gotten married, but the two boys passed, and here's Naomi, and she's left with two daughters-in-law. And things are different. But here's what I like. Verse 6. And she arose that she might return from the land of Moab, because she heard from the land of Moab that God had visited his people in giving them food. So she's on her way back now. And she says to the two girls, she says, tell you what, you don't need to come back with me because there's nothing back here for you. You can stay here with your friends and your relative, and they'll look after you, because they didn't have social assistance back then. So they didn't have welfare. So somebody's got to look after the two girls. So what are the one of them, Orpah? Well, actually, they both said, you know, we'll go with you. But, you know, Naomi, she kept talking to them and saying, you know, don't come with me. And she couldn't convince. Well, Orpah, she decided to stay, but Ruth, she couldn't convince her. Ruth had a different mind and a different heart. Two names, Orpah, which means gazelle. I guess he was fast on her feet. She went right on back home to mom and dad. But Ruth had a different name. Her name means friendship. Wow. Her very nature, friendship. And it's not the kind of friendship that gives up when things are bad. It's the kind of friendship that sticks there. So she's stuck with her mom. And she said to her mom, I'm going with you. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Now, I guess we'll read on a bit. So Naomi comes back, and she comes into the land where her home is, and where her family was, her ancestry was there, and I don't know if the old house was still standing or what, But it was a tough time for her. The people of the community saw Naomi. She came back. She went out full, but she came back empty. She left with three guys to look after her. Prospect of having a future. Came back with one daughter. A daughter-in-law. And Naomi herself said this, and this is why I say it's important, verse 20. She said, "Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me pleasant anymore, for the Lord has dealt with me. Call me Mara." And that word means bitter. She had a rough time of it. It was hard for her. Verse 21, "I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." But they came back at the time of the beginning of the harvest. And Ruth said to Mom one day, "I'm going to go out, and we got to get something to eat. I'll go down to the grocery store." No, didn't have the grocery store. They went out. She went out into the field. And she just so happened to come across the field of Boaz. And Boaz was a near relative. Now, she stayed in that field that day, and she started gathering up some of the grain, and I'm sure she talked to the servants and that. Boaz came. And he said, "Who's that there gathering in the field?" And they said, "That's Ruth. She's the daughter-in-law of Naomi." And he came to the reapers. And he said, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." And that's when he said that. And then verse 8, Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Don't go into anybody else's field. Let your eyes be on the field in which they reap. Go after them, and I told my servants not to touch you. And when you're thirsty, you're to go drink the water that they have." And he made a statement to his reapers, and he said, "I want you to just leave a little bit behind for her. I want you to drop some on purpose for Ruth to take home." Now, this speaks of a different time period in life. And you know, this thing is, there are parallels. We already talked about them. But this speaks about a time period in the life where now Ruth has left her home. She's left behind her gods. She's left behind her people. She's left behind her identity and everything she came from. And she's gone home to be with Naomi. And it's a different place for her. This is a brand new day. This is just like salvation. She's received God as her Savior. Something has changed. She's changed her position. She's changed her place. And she's in here with Naomi. Now, I always look at Boaz as kind of being a picture of God. Because here, God sees her desire to come and to be in the and be in this new place, to be serving God and loving God. And what does he do? He starts blessing her. And I can tell you an honest truth. This is important today. When you make that step and you step over from being part of the world and part of the things of the world and tied up in the things of the world, and you start moving over to the place of being filling your heart with the things of God and the desires of God and wanting to be where God is at, let me tell you, things will change for you. God will start to leave you blessings. God will start to give you provision. God will make sure that there's water there for you to drink, spiritual water, the water of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, that you will be rejuvenated, made brand new, washed in the water of regeneration. But there's also the bread of life that he's leaving there for you. But I want to talk to you about something else. Here is this woman of faith, Ruth. Now, Naomi, she's almost like the Holy Spirit. Naomi just keeps telling her, you know, you stay in that field. You be there. You keep on going. You gather your stuff there. And I'm going to tell you one thing more. I want to tell you a secret. I want to tell you, he is a kinsman redeemer. He has a special place where he can redeem your inheritance. Wow. We come to God. We accept our salvation. And believe me, it's wonderful. It's powerful. And you know what God does? He pours out his blessings on you. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. And he loves you this day. And he's made your life prosperous. But listen, there's a whole lot more that he has for you. Why is he doing this? Why is he pouring out his love on you? Why is he healing you? Why is he saving you? Why is he keeping you? Why does he bless your finances and your home and everything? Why? Because he wants to draw you on. Because there is another place. There is another place. And it is more than just being a servant of God. It is being a co-heir with Christ Jesus. It's moving away from just being a servant and being a gatherer and gathering things, just taking what drops and taking what comes and living your life and doing your own thing. And still, this is where she was at. She was out there every day doing these things, making a living and trying to get along in life. And there is more to life than just living a nice Christian life. There is a life where we pick up our inheritance, where we become part of the redeemed. Wow. So Naomi says to Ruth, I want you to go to Boaz and I want you to lay down at his feet. In the threshing floor. So she goes to the threshing floor, and they've worked all day, and they work hard, and in the evening they sit down and they have a big meal and they eat and they drink, and you know what? They're exhausted. So he goes someplace off and finds a grain pile and he lays down and goes to sleep. And Ruth sneaks in. She sneaks in. And she goes and lays at the feet of Boaz. Now that meant something. It meant, I am yours if you want me. So Boaz wakes up. It's kind of earlier in the morning. He's probably got to go to the bathroom. And guess what? There's a woman at his feet. How in the world did that happen? Wow, big surprise. Strange woman at his feet. And you know what she says to him? Spread your garment over me. Wow. Cover me. Now, do you think he had a big enough robe he could spread that over her? I don't think so. This is the spiritual and a significant thing that she's doing. She is saying, extend your covering over me. In other words, your authority, your leadership. In other words, be my husband. Now, Boaz. I love his name. You know what his name means? Fleet. He's fast on his feet. It actually has two meanings. Boaz does. It has fleetness as one of them, and another one is strength. Okay? So here's this guy, and he gets up, and he finds a woman at his feet, and the first thing he says to her is, you know what? There's someone who's closer than me. I'll go talk to him. So he's got to do things legal and everything. But Ruth comes home. He says to her, here, take this big bushel of food I'm going to give you. He just loads her right up and sends her on home to mom. And She gets home, tells mom everything. Naomi says, listen, I know Boaz. He is not going to rest until you, and until this whole thing is straightened out. So Boaz goes and he meets with the people. He gathers 10 of the elders of the city and he waits for the guy who's the closest redeemer, because it works by how far away you are. He's probably twice removed or whatever. The guy who's the closest family member comes along and he says, Naomi's going to sell her land. You have the right to redeem it, to buy it, so it stays in the family. He says, oh, okay, I'll take that. Oh, and by the way, Naomi has a daughter-in-law, and that comes with the deal. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. No, I'm not interested, because I will have to raise up children in the name of the one who passed away. What is the name of the one who passed away? God is my king. He would have to raise up children in that name. Elimelech, the house of Elimelech, right? So, he says, no, I'm not going to do that, because that's going to mess up my inheritance that I'm passing on to my children. He says, you do it. So, he takes off his shoe. And he hands his shoe to Boaz. And that was a sign of a covenant. A covenant. Covenant's not something we talk about these days much. But that shoe is a sign of a covenant that he said, this is your right to redeem. You know something? Jesus has made a covenant for each one of us. He has prepared something for us, that we will not just walk as servants in this world, but that we would become joined to him as the bride of Christ, and that he would raise up in us an inheritance, and an inheritance that will be eternal. God has a plan and he has a purpose for every single life that's here today. And it is far bigger, far greater than anything you have ever imagined. Right now in the season that we're in, it looks like we're in a book of Judges. But I can tell you the honest truth, we're coming to the book of Ruth. And I want to tell you what wonderful thing happened in her life. She gave birth to a son, and his son was Obed. And Obed gave birth to a son, and his name was Jesse. And Jesse gave birth to a son, and his name was David. And he was the king of Israel. Here is a woman who was from another land. She was a foreigner, an outsider, unknown to the people of Israel. And she gave up all of these things and put it behind her. And she, in faith, said, I am going to your land, to your people, and I'm going to be joined to you. And guess what happened? She became the great-grandma of David. Now you can say to yourself, wow, that's pretty cool. Boaz. David had a son. You remember his name? Who was a king? Solomon. And he built a temple. And in that temple there were two big pillars. Do you know the names of the pillars? I could tell you one of them. Boaz. What this lady did left a stamp on the national identity of Israel. More than that, it left an eternal stamp, a stamp of faith. Because you see, everything that we have comes by faith. Everything that we are ever going to have from God comes through faith. It doesn't come any other way. And unless we are a people of faith and we believe God and we start believing God and start taking those chances and start trusting God with our lives, all of our lives, 100% surrender, you will never see the things of God. And that's what happened. Ruth became a mother in Israel. Hallelujah. She became an ancestor of Jesus. She got joined into the family line. And if you look in the book, I forget which one, in Luke or Matthew, the genealogies of Jesus, there's one of them that traces up through that family tree. And guess what? And it goes all the way back to Adam and Abraham. They mention the moms that made a difference. Ruth is in there. I want to tell you something today. God has so much more for us. He doesn't want us just to be satisfied with struggling to get by. He wants to bring us into a place of an inheritance and to a place of blessing where you just don't pick up the grain from the field, you own the field. Where you just don't follow along after the servants, but you tell the servants what to do. It's a completely different place. Ruth came along, she came as a servant. But God said, that's not where I want you to stay. I want you to come up here and I want you to be joined. I want you to be family. She became the wife. And it all came because she had faith and because she submitted herself to God. I think there's a message that God is saying to the church today. Come up here. Come up here. You've been down here long enough. You've been struggling to get by and you've been picking and you know what? God's blessing us. God's there cheering us on. And he's saying, yes, take some more blessings. Take some more of me. Take some more of me. But he's hungry and he's thirsting for a people of God who will forget about, listen, the things that will hold you back. The things that will hold you back is being so wrapped up in life, wrapped up with petty details, wrapped up in what color is that church foyer? Oh, I don't like that one, you know? And wrapped up with, oh, what did my neighbor say to me today? Got me so mad. Wrapped up with, oh, I'm so worried about tomorrow, and I'm so worried about my kids, and I'm so worried about they're not serving the Lord, and I'm so worried about finances. Listen, we are just people going around picking up scraps when you're working at that level. God wants you to see things from another point of view. He wants to change your perspective. He wants to bring you into a place of ruling with him. He wants to bring you into a place of you getting your inheritance, and he wants to give it to you now. Some people believe that there's an inheritance when we get to heaven. But I tell you, the inheritance starts now. Paul made it very clear that I wish that your eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would understand the hope of your calling. It starts today, and it starts now, because as long as Jesus is king, he has a kingdom, and he expects us to rule with him, starting here, starting now. This is the training ground for eternity. I give you a challenge this morning. Are you satisfied with just getting by? Or do you really want more? It's time to lay aside everything. Our differences, our opinions. It's time for us to want God more than anything in this world. And I can tell you, if we as a people do that, God's going to reveal himself to you. He's already started. We gather together on Sunday night for prayer, and God's already healing people. God's already changing lives. And this is just what we can pick up. But God is just getting going. I want to see God move here, in this church as much as you do. Some of you are here and you remember when God moved here and brought revival to this church. We're not done yet. God's not finished with us. He's just getting started. There's a new message he's coming up with us for us today. Lay aside everything and go and be at the master's feet. Because he has an inheritance for you. He will spread his covering over you. And he will bring you into a place that you never dreamt and you never thought possible. Healings will be the norm here every Sunday morning. I expect that. I expect that we come into church and it's going to be a party in here. Because we can't keep our mouths shut. Because we're so in love with God. And when we praise and worship, oh, we just can't keep quiet. Because I believe that's what God wants for you. I know that is. I know that it is. Are you hungry for more? Tired of picking up scraps? I want to go on. 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 I want to know Jesus. Why don't we take a moment? Why don't we stand? I'm going to ask you to do something today. An old friend of mine, he always did something. Because I want to tell you something about faith. Faith without works is dead. Okay? But I want to tell you something else. At every point, and every time that we gather together, and in every sermon, there's a touch point, I call them. There are points when God wants to drive a message home to you. And that's right now. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to take off your shoe. This may seem funny. It may seem odd. But this will stick with you. All right? This will stick with you. Take off your shoe. Just one. One's good. Okay? And no one will die next to you. It's okay. You got one? Hold it up. I want to pray together. Okay? Lord Jesus, why don't we all pray together? Let's do that. Lord Jesus, we join our hearts today as your people to seek your inheritance, your lordship, and to be redeemed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That shoe speaks of the redemption that we have this day. The kinsman redeemer, he picked up the shoe and he gave it to Boaz. He says, it's yours. It's yours to use. This is yours to use. Jesus is your redeemer. And all the blessings of heaven are yours today. All the provision of God is yours today. The only thing that keeps us out is unbelief and doubt. That's what it is. And we need to seek God for these things. But you see, here's the key. God is king, not us. Hallelujah. Amen.
God is king, not us. From this day forward, I pray that you will seek your king. He is your redeemer. He is your redeemer. He is your redeemer. You have been bought with your price, with a price. Your life does not belong to you. It's not yours to decide what you're going to deal with. It's his. It's his. So ask him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can put your shoe on. Praise the Lord. And you can be seated too. That's okay. And you know, I think I'm going to close things with a word of prayer. I want you to remember this day because I believe it's important. I really do believe this is important. If we get this into our spirits and we start changing and we start hungering after God as the people of God who gather into this church, listen, there isn't anywhere that God cannot take us. And there isn't anything that God cannot do. And I want it. And I don't know about you. It's time to leave junk behind and go. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for Ruth, a woman of faith. And Lord, that's how we become the bride of Christ, to become someone of faith. And Lord God, I pray that you will be with each of us today. Lord, that this sinks into our hearts. That when we come back here to church next Sunday, it won't be business as usual. But that we would come here to meet with you and a hunger for you and a hunger to be in your presence. Lord, we're not satisfied with the fields, picking up scraps. We want to come and live in the house of God, in the inheritance of God, that we only find when we rest in you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And may God's peace and his grace be with you. I pray that you would take the words that are said today as a challenge to you, that it would speak to your hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.